Good day and welcome to the Way Stations Ministries podcast. I'm Greg Spencer with a light for your journey and a good word for the road. It's great to be traveling together and I thank you for coming with me. Let's ride together for a while. Well, greetings, my friends. I'm not going to try to do too much of an Irish accent, but I would like to celebrate Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is Greg from the Way Stations Ministries podcast, and I'm just delighted to be sharing with you again today and to be celebrating during a holiday time. We're going to be doing that at the Steamwork Spirit Station this evening, and that'll be available to you on Facebook Live at 7 p.m., and it'll also be available on Facebook and later on YouTube, so anybody can access. Just look up Steamwork Spirit Station, and you should be able to find it, plus all the previous episodes that we've done. So I welcome you to the podcast, and don't know if you like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day or not. But it's usually a pretty joyous time. There's a lot of focus to it and parades and gatherings and turning everything green. That's a nice thing to do with the river, I think. So what happens is people go to the pubs and they celebrate. Now, I don't know if you're aware that a pub in the UK is a little bit different than it is in the United States. It is a gathering place. It's been a gathering place for a lot of generations. So families, the community gather at the pubs. It's not really about getting wasted, although you have some that do. It's more about the family feel, the connection to friends and sharing the evening, passing the time, sharing the news, those kinds of things. And so that's why all ages are welcome there. And it's a good time. It's a good place. It's a home type place. It's a place that you feel good when you go. And I think that's an awesome thing. It's good to have places like that in our lives. And that's where a lot of people go. And we're going to be orienting that way this evening. And that's what the podcast is about today. Now, when you think about a pub, what do you think of? When you think about faith, what do you think of? I think a lot of people think about them as opposite one another. I'm not sure if they were. You see, the ancient hymns, the old hymns that are sung in traditional churches all across the land in multiple denominations, a lot of them were written to contemporary music that people were singing. They were pub songs, and they used those tunes. Charles Wesley was famous for using the tunes that the community sang and enjoyed and using that music and then applying spiritual terms to it. And that way the people would know the tune and they could sing and enjoy the singing. But they would also have the spiritual tune or the spiritual word or the spiritual intent. The scriptural focus would be added to that. And that's what made churches attractive. That made worship fun. And it was a very powerful thing. And you can think of that in terms of pub songs. And I just picked one out of the hat. It was, it starts off, this is a religious song. It says, I was sinking deep in sin. Hey, you could just hear that, couldn't you? Hey, whoa, cheer. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. Hey, sinking to rise no more. You can hear that kind of rhythm and that kind of energy, and you could just see them raising their glasses to toast in the middle of the song. That's a pub song. It's a faithful song. It's called Love Lifted Me. When I was helpless, love lifted me up. Not just any kind of love, but God's love. And there's verses and verses that are written to that. Well, this is the thing that I think happens a lot to us. Have you ever heard of what's called a Gibbs slap? It became a part of the common colloquial language with a number one program on television for many years. And that was called NCIS, which were initials for Naval Criminal Investigative Service. It was a cop show. And in that, the lead character was named Gibbs, and that's what everybody called him. And what he would do from time to time is to his subordinates, he would give them a light slap on the back of the head. And he called it a wake-up call. What it was a recognition that the path you're going on or the thing you're saying or the thing you're doing is not exactly in the right direction that it should be. And so he just gives them that little wake-up call. And there's lots of ways to do that. And of course, today, if anybody tried to do that, would probably get offended by it. But you know, we need that from time to time. We need someone to give us a little course correction. We need something to help us avoid making those gib slap mistakes. Those gib slap moments. The fewer of those we have, the happier we'll all be. And so it is that faith is about helping us to do that. It's about helping us to avoid the mistakes. It's about helping us to learn from the past ones, make some corrections, and prevent ourselves from getting into the messes that we're so commonly used to getting into. So the scripture that I'd like to use for as a description for that comes from Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Ephesians is a reference to a book in the Bible where Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was a very famous Christian and evangelist who started churches all over the known world at the time, he wrote letters to the churches that he formed to try to help them to avoid making mistakes, how to improve the quality of their ministries, their fellowship, their lives, to avoid the problems that so many social institutions run into. And so in chapter 4, verses 25 through 32 of a letter that he wrote to the people who lived in a town called Ephesus, it says this: "Putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another." Now, that is a guideline that would be a very beneficial thing for all of us, because we have a tendency to think twice about the things we're going to say and things we're going to do to other people. Now, why is that? It's because we don't see them as part of us. We see them as a part from us. And so we will say things that we want to say. And sometimes we make mistakes in doing so. We get too emotional. We speak out of ignorance. And it's not that we are ignorant people. It's that we didn't know certain things that would have made a difference in how we responded to them. So I remember a poem by John Donne, "For Whom the Bell Tolls," and it's talking about the bells that would ring at a funeral or a funeral procession. Who is that bell tolling for? And he says, "Don't ask for whom it tolls for. Every time it rings for thee." And I think that's an important poem. I think it's a valuable lesson. If we were to look at one another as part of ourselves, then we don't want to harm ourselves, do we? We don't want to say things or have attitudes that cause us to get angry or cause the other person to get angry or for the other person to get hurt. That's not a good way to go. So you want to be a little careful. And a lot of humor that you hear, a lot of jokes that people tell, usually, or very commonly at least, put down another person or a group of persons. It's not really a good way to laugh. Now, it's good to laugh at ourselves, but it should be done in a harmless way, a way that we can enjoy and even recognize ourselves in it, but not get harmed by it. And so the example that I would give there is the gib slap was across the back of the head from someone else, but the V8 slap is one that we slap our own forehead. Both of those are designed to say, "Oh, I realized something," and "Ooh, I can make it different, and I can make it better." The next thing that he says in verse 26 and following is, "Be angry." It's okay to be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't hold on to it. Why? It just eats you up alive. If you just keep dwelling on it, it just makes things worse. Don't make room for the devil to work on your imagination. Now, I've talked to a number of people that go to the hospital. They have surgeries that are pending or procedures they have to go through, and usually they're pretty anxious about going to that. And when I talk to them, I ask them about what the outcome could be. And most of the time, they think about the worst possible outcome to a surgery that they're afraid of. They're afraid that they are more sick than they know and that the outcome is going to be very poor if they're able to live at all. And that's not the place to go. It's better to think a little bit more positively, I think. It is better to think that at least equal is the opportunity to be better, because that's why you're going in to get the surgery anyway. You're going to make yourself better. You're going to improve the quality of your life. You're going to heal. Why is it that we think so much about our harm instead of the blessing, the good, the hope? The next thing he talks about in verse 29 is, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." Now, that means that we're always going to present ourselves in as faithful a way as we can, or as positive a way as we can. We don't participate. We don't get drawn into the vehement and angry arguments or conversations. If somebody wants to insult us, we let them. Not that it means that much to us, but it's a way of avoiding ourselves getting sucked into that terrible, terrible emotional state that we don't like to be in. I don't think anybody really likes to be angry or upset. And so what we try to do is to avoid that. Partly we do it for ourselves. Partly we do it for them. I like to use the description of playing tennis. I don't know if you're familiar with the game, but the idea is that you want to get a point, and the way you get a point is you're able to hit the ball across the net to an opponent in such a way that they're not able to hit it back, or if they do hit it back, it doesn't land in the court. And that's how a point is made. Well, I'm not a very good tennis player. I enjoy the game, but I'm nowhere near any kind of competition quality. So if I were to have the opportunity to play tennis against one of the best persons in the world, and they happen to be having a bad day, and they were going to show me, you know, and so they just drill a serve across the net to me, and I know that I'm not going to hit that. I know that I can't. I'd kill myself trying. Well, then I say, okay, that's your point. That's going to be your point, and you just let it go. And you can let an awful lot of things go if you don't let it hit you in the gut. If you stand like a deer in the headlights and someone throws an insult at you, you can allow yourself to get hurt. But if you just turn slightly sideways and allow that to go on by, then you're free of it. And that's a way of protecting ourselves, and it's a way of de-escalating the conflict. And that's what self-defense is about. It's about reducing the danger and reducing the harm that can be caused by conflict. So one of the ways to do that is that we say things that are helpful for building up the situation, for encouraging the other person, or ending the conversation in such a way that nobody is harmed. We want to try to do our best to make the best possible outcome. And so it is about doing good and thinking good, being good-oriented, and not allowing the trivial things, the meaningless things, the stormy things, to tear us apart or to bring us down. Too many people are victimized by that stuff. And I don't think we have to be. So why would we? The next verse in verse 31 is put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. What good does our anger do if it has nowhere to go? What good does arguing provide? What good does depression or grief or guilt or staying in those negative emotions, what do they provide for us? We do so much time paying attention to those things. You'd think it was really important to us. Well, I'm not sure it is, but we've forgotten how to think in different ways. We've forgotten how to be positive. This is why a pub is helpful. When you go to be with your friends at a place, you can share with people that you know, people that you love, people that you trust. You can share what's going on in your life, and they'll be there to encourage you. They may offer some correction and guidance. They may offer sympathy and concern. They may just be a quiet listening presence. In any of that, we find ourselves benefiting because the people that we care about care for us, and that lightens the load. It eases our burden and sometimes helps to assist us in climbing up out of the dark holes that we put ourselves in. Be kind to one another, Paul says, tender-hearted and forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. I think that's really important. You never want to insult somebody that you want a favor from. If you cause harm and later you're going to ask for help, I wouldn't think that they'd be inclined to respond very positively. If we are a caring, giving person, if we are a cheerful-voiced person, if we always have a smile or a perspective that helps people to look up or to be up, then I think we've improved and blessed their lives and ours too. We are thinking about what we're doing and the impact of our words and our thoughts, our feelings, and we take responsibility for them. And we decide, hey, you know, I don't want to feel that anger, so why am I allowing myself to do it? I don't want to spend my time in guilt or grief. Why am I doing that? Well, if I don't have to, maybe I should look at what choices I have. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. I like that. What's your image of God? Do you have a picture in your mind of what God looks like? When I was growing up, I remember seeing pictures of this old guy, long hair, white hair, of course, and long beard. I remember that pretty clearly. Now, in my later years, I've discovered that I'm not sure that's the most effective tool. I think more, he might be worn bald. Why? Because he's pulling his hair out. He knows what we could be. He knows the mistakes we make. He says, oh, no, there they go again. So he's pulling his hair. So he might not have as much hair as I once imagined so long ago. You don't want to tick off God. You don't want to frustrate God. You don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. What you want to do is say, you know, I need God's help. I want God's help. I may not know exactly what it is that I'm asking for. I may not know how that's going to come or how God's going to work. But I think if I give God the benefit of the doubt, if I offer my prayer or my hope or my wish or my dream, then I'm focusing on the positive there too. And only in the positive will we start to recognize where good things are coming. When we're angry, we tend to tighten up inside. We tend to close our eyes and we close our minds. We stop listening and we get very internally focused. So we draw further and further away from the life that surrounds us, and therefore we can't see the kindness or appreciate the goodness that is being given to us. And that's not something we want to be, and that's not where we want to live. It would be so much better if we could drop down to the pub, talk to some of our friends, sing a song, relax a little bit, play a game of darts, but just to be together with good people, and they're good and kind and helpful unto us, then they can give us the perspective that we need. Maybe it doesn't take a slap. Maybe it just takes a smile. But it does take an act of will. We can overcome the dark parts of our personalities and our character. We can overcome the darkness in our lives. We can make those things less important. Many people will sacrifice great things in order for greater good to happen. This is what we see when people risk something in order to help someone else out. This is what we see in the Ukraine, if you will. It is where persons are making sacrifices in order to preserve their country or to care for their family or to end injustice or to resist oppression, to protect that which they love. When we're focused that way, the pain or the difficulty along the way isn't that difficult. It's not that burdensome. And that's one of the illustrations that I'm going to be using. If you listen to our worship or if you come to our worship services, that's going to be an illustration this coming Sunday, which I love. It's a movie from a long time ago called The Blues Brothers. It's a band of blues singers who were on a mission to save an orphanage. And what they do is there are songs that are all along the journey and all these unusual and funny circumstances that happen until they are in the end able to get the money that they need to save the orphanage. They never forget what they're doing or what they're about. There's a lot of things that happen to them, some of them good, some of them bad, but all along the way they remember. And the way it's said is, Dan Aykroyd, who plays one of the Blues Brothers, says, "We're on a mission from God." And I think that's a helpful thing. If we are thinking about God's purpose and intention for our lives, and that's the direction, that's the purpose, that's the mission, that's the goal, then we don't lose sight of that as we do our daily living. We don't let things pull us away from that to distract us from it, or worse, to turn us away completely from it or prevent us from ever realizing it. That didn't happen to the Blues Brothers, and it doesn't have to happen to us. There are many, many things that can encourage us and cause us to have a better perspective. There are many things that can cheer us up and encourage us along the way. They may be simple. You're not going to look at it as a spiritual thing. You won't look at it as a God thing, but you will notice when your spirit is uplifted, when your emotions are relaxed, when you find your life going a little bit better, oh, you'll notice that, and you'll enjoy it, and you'll be grateful for it. Well, that's the idea for St. Patrick's Day. It's a chance to celebrate. It's a chance to be with people you love and to enjoy good time. And it's a thing to say the good time is more important than the bad, and I want to enjoy my life more than the struggle. I want to look above. I want to be above. And I think we can be. I think God wants us to be, and I think God helps us to be. So happy St. Patrick's Day. The guy that took all the snakes out, ruined all the, or got rid of all the troubles of those serpents, well, maybe he takes care of the serpents that we have to deal with too. They may not be physical snakes, but there are a lot of snakes in our lives that we would be good to be free of, don't you think? So have a great week, and I'll look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you so very, very much. Well, I'd like to thank you for being with us this time and hope that you'll join us again next time, next week, when we get together for a little more time on the road together. May it be good for you all the way through.